you beautiful bastards. Hope you have a fantastic Monday. I'm so glad you survived the up to 72 hours that we were apart. But with that said, remember to hit that like button. Otherwise, I will choke you, and not in the way that you like. I've seen your text messages. But with that said, let's just jump into it. And the first thing we're going to talk about today is a brand new segment I call Troll of the Week. There's even an award. Oh, wait, no, that's just a beautiful bastard candle. Always plugging. This week, we have to give the award to, I don't know what the proper descriptor here would be, a person by the name of Belle Delphine, a modelly meme person who makes this face a lot. She has garnered a just massive following. I mean, just one of the places she's massive, Instagram, 3.6 million plus followers. And last week, she announced in a post that I can only show you one third of, otherwise my video will be flagged, that if this photo gets 1 million likes, I'll actually make a Pornhub account. The time has officially come. And apparently there was a lot of support for this, even from Pornhub itself, who wrote, "This is the best news I've heard all year." Then she posted another picture, which I could literally just show you her hand, and whatever that thing is. But it was a tease for the videos that she was creating. And then people saw that she actually made that Pornhub account. And then the time officially came. She announced in another post, "There are 12 videos to watch," and then people rushed to those videos, only to realize that Delphine had made clowns of them. It turns out that the 12 videos that she uploaded to Pornhub were just puns. For example, one of her videos was called "PewDiePie Goes All the Way Inside Belle Delphine," and that video was just Belle Delphine eating a picture of PewDiePie. Right, and the other videos included things like her playing with this stuffed animal, which goes by a different name if you want to mislead people. And the internet was the internet wasn't angry. A lot of fans were angry. A lot of people like myself found it humorous because we had no stakes in this. And as far as the true meaningful backlash, like, will she still have a career? Yeah, of course. Since she made the initial announcement and proceeded to troll all of her fans, she gained around 500,000 new Instagram followers. And long story short, personally, I find it all hilarious, and that is why Belle Delphine is our Troll of the Week. But with that said, of course, that's the story, my personal takeaway, and maybe you agree, maybe you disagree, and I pass the question off to you. What are your thoughts on this? Did you personally find this to be funny, or were you someone that was angry, and if so, why? But with that said, if we are going to be doing the Troll of the Week, I feel like we should also do the BAMF of the Week. A badass mother, what? That puts some good into the world. And today, that is the internet's own Dr. Lupo. And there's also an asterisk there because there's also a lot of other BAMFs on this story, but I'm gonna start with Dr. Lupo, who, if you don't know, is a massive streamer. He's known for playing Fortnite. And the reason we're talking about him today is he closed out an event called GuardianCon. And for those who've watched the show for a while, you know that GuardianCon is this massive charity event. And they raise money for St. Jude Children's Research Hospital thanks to just a community of badass gamers. This year, they were seeking to raise $3 million. One of the big stories last week with this was that Bungie helped raise $400,000. It broke a previous record, but people had their eyes set on the last 4.5 hours where Dr. Lupo was hosting. And this year, not only did he then beat the now broken record, he and all those giving givers just destroyed it, raising $920,000. It was just awesome to see. And yeah, just a big shout out to GuardianCon in general, Dr. Lupo, and all the other fantastic streamers and people that helped make this a reality. And ultimately, where I'll end this story kind of twofold. One, even though that particular stream is now done, I'll still link down below so you can donate. And two, you should also follow GuardianCon on Twitter, which I'll link down below, because they'll be in Orlando the weekend after July 4th, raising more money. Then, somewhat quickly, we should talk about the kind of news we haven't had on the show in a while, and that is cryptocurrency news. Today, you might have seen a headline like this one from CNBC reading, "Bitcoin soars above $11,000 for the first time in 15 months, now up 170% for the year." Then going on to add the key point, experts said Facebook's cryptocurrency project Libra has been a catalyst for Bitcoin to go higher. Although there's been some debate there about why, some arguing that Facebook and other corporations' involvement and interest in the space legitimizes it, right? So those who had maybe always been scared or after the drop had been scared away, all of a sudden they were interested and felt safer. But also at the same time, you had people saying, you know, these companies can't be trusted, arguing what they're doing with Libra is not going along with the intention behind crypto, of it being open, neutral, censorship resistant. And so we've seen people putting money into what they know. But also, I will say, as someone who has continued to track this from when it was at like $19,000 to $20,000 as far as Bitcoin, to all the way down to $3,000, you know, and on, to just credit Facebook here would be kind of silly. It's been growing steadily for a while now, but it will be very interesting to see what happens with the entire kind of marketplace in general over the next few months. But you know, ultimately we're gonna have to wait to see. And of course, with this, I'm fascinated to know your thoughts. What do you think is gonna happen here? Is it off
to the moon.
Or do you see this as a bubble going to pop sort of situation? And in general, what do you think is going to happen here, whether it be with Libra or the crypto market in general?
Then let's make like Thanksgiving and talk about turkey. I hate myself. I hate myself for having said that on a video that is on the internet now forever.
Doesn't even make sense. You don't talk about the turkey, you eat the turkey.
You do, though, talk about politics while eating the turkey, so maybe still no okay.
We should, though, talk about the massive news coming out of Turkey.
And that's because yesterday, Turkish President Erdogan suffered what experts have described as his biggest political defeat ever.
And that's because his candidate for the mayor of Istanbul lost the election, with the opposition candidate Ekrem İmamoğlu receiving 54% of the vote. And following this, Erdogan's guy Yildirim conceded the election in a televised speech saying, "As of now, my competitor İmamoğlu is leading. I congratulate him, wish him success."
And during a news conference last night, we saw İmamoğlu say,
"16 million Istanbul residents refreshed our belief in democracy and confidence in justice." And also telling Erdogan, "I am ready to work with you in harmony. I put myself up for that, and I announce this in front of all Istanbul people." And
Erdogan, for his part, congratulated him on Twitter.
Right, so with all that said, you might be wondering, well, why is this election for mayor such a big deal for Erdogan, who is the president?
Well, first of all, the big twist here is that this is actually the second time that İmamoğlu has won this election.
And I mean that as in just in the last few months.
He first won the vote for mayor of Istanbul on March 31st by a small margin of around 13,000 votes.
But Erdogan's Justice and Development Party, or the AKP, they contested the results, claiming that votes had been stolen and voting officials had not been legally approved.
And so then, in a rare move, Turkey's High Election Council annulled the election and ordered a do-over,
right? A move that made a lot of people very mad.
The opposition's Republican People's Party, or CHP, condemned the move, saying that it undermined the democratic foundations of Turkey and that it was clearly just a power move by the AKP to try to maintain their foothold in Istanbul.
And also claiming that the High Election Council's members were beholden to the AKP for their jobs and so they could easily be manipulated.
But, as we know now, it turns out that holding the election again completely backfired.
Because this time, İmamoğlu didn't kind of eke across the finish line. He won by over 800,000 votes,
with voter turnout even going up a percentage point from the March election.
And that turnout and the massive support for the opposition party is a huge deal because Erdogan's party, the AKP, has held power in Istanbul for 25 years.
Right, for a quarter of a century, they have held power in Istanbul, which is Turkey's largest city and its main commercial hub.
So it is a big defeat for the AKP on a populist level.
It's also a massive blow to Erdogan personally because he's from Istanbul and considers it his political base,
having started his political career there and even serving as the mayor himself.
And so now experts are saying that this could be a sign that Erdogan's long-running grip on power is weakening.
And for some quick context here, Erdogan has been the ruler of Turkey since 2003,
first serving as prime minister and then as president. He has largely been perceived as an invincible strongman, and by many, he is considered Turkey's most dominant politician since its founder almost a century ago.
And during his rule, Erdogan has significantly expanded his authoritarian reach by strengthening his own powers under Turkey's constitution.
He has also consolidated his power by jailing journalists, isolating opponents, and purging Turkey's police, the military, and courts.
But until recently, even with everything, he has also been largely popular.
His party has a lot of support with religious and conservative populations, and under his rule, Turkey's economy has grown significantly.
But, and you knew that one was coming, recently Turkey has been experiencing an economic recession and a financial crisis.
And so that, along with the fact that some voters are concerned about Erdogan's efforts to increase his control over the government, has shaken his support significantly.
In fact, Istanbul is not the only place where Erdogan and his party are losing power.
The AKP had a poor showing in many parts of Turkey in the March election.
And very notably, the party also lost to the opposition in Ankara, which is the capital of Turkey and the second biggest city.
But still, this recent loss in Istanbul is the main thing here, and it really cannot be understated.
Istanbul is Turkey's largest city by far, with a population of more than 15 million, which is basically triple of Ankara's.
And that opposition party, they're also in control of Turkey's third largest city, which is Izmir.
So Turkey's three largest cities are now fully in the hands of opposition parties.
And so as a result, you have experts and analysts saying that this will likely usher in a new chapter in Turkish politics.
Some members of the AKP could splinter off and even form new parties.
Others who had previously supported Erdogan, seen as an ally, could run against him in 2023.
And this election in Istanbul could trigger a cabinet reshuffle in the capital, as well as shift Turkey's foreign policy.
And on that note of foreign policy, the election also comes amid a very interesting time, specifically amid tense relations between Erdogan and the United States.
We saw the Trump administration objecting to Turkey redoing the Istanbul election, arguing that it disrupted important negotiations on Syria and other issues.
The U.S. has also objected to Turkey's plans to install Russian missile systems, which the U.S. has even threatened sanctions over.
And of course, Turkey's close economic ties with Iran aren't doing them any favors.
This timing is also interesting because Erdogan is actually set to meet with Trump at the Group of 20 summit meeting this week.
And there, it already appears that Erdogan is trying to shift the focus from the election to that of the summit.
But meanwhile, to look back at the source of this story, in Istanbul, you have tens of thousands of people celebrating İmamoğlu's win.
Fireworks were set off, the streets of Istanbul were packed with his supporters waving national flags and hanging out of car windows.
Those street parties also reportedly continuing into Monday morning.
And many people believe that this election has reinvigorated the young people in Istanbul.
One university student telling the BBC many young people desperately want to leave Turkey,
but now we might consider staying here. We are hoping
hopeful once again. But of course, at the same time, there are others who are not happy with the outcome of this election. We saw another student telling Al Jazeera Imamoglu was less qualified than his opponent, saying people just voted for the promises because they appeal to them, but I don't think they'll be able to get what they want from Imamoglu. And throughout the whole election, Turkey's state-run media outlets have been openly against Imamoglu. They were quick to attack him while also reporting favorable news about his opponent. But hey, the results were the results. We are where we are now. It's going to be very interesting to see the short-term and long-term impact of this election. And it makes me really wonder if we are going to see some sort of escalation in the country. Will we see this authoritarian strongman break things apart to maintain power? Because he has to genuinely be nervous or understand that there is a real threat to his power now. Because as Erdogan himself once said, whoever wins Istanbul wins Turkey. And based off of these redo election numbers, that is not a good statement for him. But hey, that's the end of this story, and actually the end of today's show. Thank you again for watching today's show, allowing me into your life. And remember, if you like this video, let us know. Hit that like button. If you're new here, you want more of these daily weekday videos, hit subscribe. Definitely ring that bell to turn on notifications. Which actually, on that note, if you missed the last Philip DeFranco show or the last deep dive, you can click or tap right there to watch those. But with that said, of course, as always, my name's Philip DeFranco. You've just been filled in. I love yo faces, and I'll see you tomorrow.